Welcome to Quimper UU Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this recording from our May 1st service. Joseph Ben-Narek's sermon is entitled, Blessed Are the Cheesemakers. What did he say? Thanks for listening.
The reading this morning is from a poet and novelist, Brian Doyle. It's an excerpt from his piece called The Word. We used to carve words into stones and tablets. We still do. We wrote them on the skins of calves and sheep and antelope and bison. We still do. Now we also write them on paper made of oak and maple and pine and spruce. We write them on cotton and linen and silk. We write them in sand. We write them in air. We use our fingers and toes and sticks and pens and pencils and quills and markers and crayons and brushes and styluses and any and every tool that comes to hand to make letters, the loops and swirls, the darts and the corners of the word. Such a sensual act. Such a sacrament. A friend recently told me the one UU joke in her repertoire. What happens when you cross a Unitarian Universalist with a Jehovah's Witness? Someone who knocks on your door for no apparent reason. Now, that sound that we enjoyed together, laughter, is one of the most uplifting sounds on earth. And one of the world's most beloved poets, Pablo Neruda, enjoyed an amazing insight when he said that laughter is the language of the soul. Now, actually, Neruda probably wrote that as part of a poem, and being professionally interested in poems, I wondered to myself, which poem? Because a jewel like that phrase has to be embedded within a brilliant poem. So I turned to the wilds of the internet, and I did a little research that led me down numerous paths where website after website after website posted Neruda's quote, and yet no site provided an actual source for where the quote originated. Not to be deterred, and alas, not being able to speak Spanish, I put the line into Google Translates and got a Spanish rendition of the quote, La risa es el lenguaje del alma. Now, I figured with the original language quote, or a close Google-ish approximation, I would find the source. And alas, I searched the internet again with the Spanish phrase and essentially got the same runaround. All sorts of Spanish language websites quoted that line from Neruda, though nobody could tell me where it was from. So finally, I wound up where all internet web searchers seem to wind up, that great and ever-growing and absolutely free and researcher beware, Wikipedia. Actually, I was in a subset of Wikipedia called WikiQuote on a page entirely dedicated to Pablo Neruda. I thought that this was a gold mine until I actually realized what this page was. It was a page where many, many gorgeous and wise and beautiful quotes were quarantined. Here is what the heading of the site said. WikiQuote no longer allows unsourced quotations, and they're in the process of being removed from our pages. But if you can provide a reliable, precise, and verifiable source for any quote on this list, please move it to Pablo Neruda. Now, this post was from May 2009, over 7 years ago, and there were a lot of Neruda quotes there. Laughter is the language of the soul, may or may not have been said by Pablo Neruda, and may or may not been in one of his poems. Perhaps he said it as part of a toast at a state dinner when he was a diplomat, and another diplomat wrote it on a cocktail napkin, And then the person who was doing the laundry with the found the cocktail napkin, loved the quote, told their priest. The priest used it in a sermon. Hundreds of people heard it, and thus a global game of telephone began. Now, you are welcome to make up your own story, and you're especially invited to tell me, if you find it, where Neruda got that quote. What we do know is that unattributed quotes or misattributed quotes or mangled quotes or misquotes have a long and storied history in human communication. There was an article in the New York Times a few years ago about this issue, prompted by a coffee mug, a Henry David Thoreau quote on a Starbucks mug. "Go confidently in the direction of your dreams with an exclamation point. Live the life that you've imagined." Now, the writing professor who saw the mug wondered where exactly Thoreau had that upbeat sentiment. Now, he was especially suspect because of the exclamation point. Thoreau did not use a whole lot of exclamation points. He wasn't a peppy guy. Now, it turns out that the quote was distilled from Thoreau's classic, Walden, and here's the quote in full. "I learned this, at least, by my experiment, that if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours." Close quote. That is gorgeous. Most of the words from the coffee mug are in there, though in this reduction, certain words are switched out. Go for advance, your for his, the deletion of the word endeavor. And of course, then there's the energized exclamation point. Now, while the coffee mug gets the gist, when it comes to attributions, gist is unacceptable. For me, those quote marks actually do real work in the world. They do something very important. They indicate that these words were said by this person. We appreciate the author of that New York Times piece tracing the famous inspirational quotes back and trying to confirm the source. Another quote that he researched is a favorite of mine from Gandhi. It's a classic UU bumper sticker that I've used for guidance for years. "Be the change you want to see in the world." It turns out that Gandhi never said that. Exactly. What Gandhi said was something similar. Quote, "If we could change ourselves, the tendencies in the world would also change. As a man changes his own nature, so does the attitude of the world towards him. We need not wait to see what others do." Close quote. So "be the change you wish to see in the world" is way more pithy and memorable, and it can fit pretty well on a coffee mug. And I'm sure that if Gandhi were given the opportunity to confirm that that was his quote, I'm sure he would say, fine. But he didn't. And we can't. So we go forward being the change we want to see in the world, which is just fine. Thank you. Which loops us back to the gist. And a skill that I believe that we moderns need to develop, and we Unitarian Universalists may need to develop it to an art form. And that's the practice of the holy gist. Now, while being fierce about accuracy and attribution and striving for those qualities at every turn, it is also a rich and nourishing practice to grasp the true intent of the words, to ask, what do these words really mean? And what are these words getting us to do, guiding us to do? Now, one of the bedrock principles for our subtle and supple religion, and I hold suppleness as one of the key attributes to Unitarian Universalism, is that our living tradition draws from many sources, including, quote, "words and deeds of prophetic men and women which challenge us to confront the powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love." Now, that deep taproot links both words and deeds, and each and both have a purpose. They challenge us. Actually, they challenge us to confront the powers and structures of evil. It's heady stuff. Which brings us to a teacher named Jesus who was preaching in an outdoor public space over 2,000 years ago. There's an audience gathered tight around the man, leaning in to hear every word. Though as one gets farther away from the source, the crowd thins. A few hundred feet away, and without the aid of amplification, the words and phrases of the teacher are difficult to make out. One listener reports to his neighbors, "I think it was, 'Blessed are the cheesemakers.'" Now a woman asks, "And what's so special about cheesemakers?" And a third man, quite confidently, responds, "Well, obviously, this is not meant to be taken literally. It refers to any manufacturer of dairy products." Now, this is the infamous cheesemaker scene from Monty Python's religious comedy, The Life of Brian. Now, The Life of Brian tracks a life of a man named Brian, who is an exact contemporary of Jesus, who was also born on Christmas Day, the next stable over. And in fact, for a brief period of time, the three wise men thought that Brian was the chosen one. Now, when the movie appeared and premiered in 1979, it immediately sparked deep and intense controversy. It got a C rating from the Catholic Church, the letter C standing for condemned. And the movie was actually banned from Norway. Now, of course, the Monty Python troupe used this to their advantage, including an ad campaign in Sweden that said, "The film's so funny that it's been banned in Norway." Now, the cheesemaker quote, of course, is mangled for perfectly sound comedic reasons. From Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Peacemakers, cheesemakers. And actually, to be perfectly clear, Jesus spoke that phrase in Aramaic, an ancient Semitic language. And to save you some time when you get home, you need not put that phrase into Google Translate and try to get an Aramaic version. Aramaic does not exist on Google Translate. Now, here's something that's strange but true. This interesting factoid was part of a high-profile dust-up about what language Jesus actually spoke, as reported in the Washington Post a few years ago when Pope Francis visited Israel. The Pope and Israel's prime minister ran into this little squabble. And here's a short excerpt from the news story. Pope Francis toured the Holy Land, visiting refugees, hugging clerics, and honoring the victims of the Holocaust. But perhaps the most interesting moment of the trip came during an exchange with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at a meeting in Jerusalem. The Israeli premier and the Pope found occasion for a historical quibble. "Jesus was here in this land. He spoke Hebrew," Netanyahu told the Pope through an interpreter. "Aramaic," the pontiff immediately corrected. "He spoke Aramaic, but he knew Hebrew," offered Netanyahu, who was addressing the Spanish-speaking Argentine Pope in Hebrew, which is translated by an interpreter into Italian. So here it is. In a place called the Holy Land, capital P politics meets capital R religion through interpreters and a swirl of languages, verbal Hebrew to Italian for a Spanish-speaking Pope, and the story relayed to us through English over which language Jesus actually spoke, which is Aramaic. Now that's five languages represented in a very short story from the Holy Land. Now, this got me to thinking about the importance of words and language, and most importantly, meaning in religion. How many translations are there of the Bible? Well, I have it on good authority, Wikipedia, that as of November 2012, the entire Bible has been translated into 518 languages. Now, this source also included the current and convenient listing of all the English language versions, which number over 100. and I wanted to work backwards a little bit to provide four translations, or three translations, from the Monty Python cheesemaker quote. So here's an arc of 500 years. Year 33, blessed are the cheesemakers. The earliest English translation, the Wycliffe translation from 1380, blessed be peaceable men, for they shall be called God's children. The King James Version, the so-called KJV from 1611, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And here is the ERV, the easy-to-read version from 1989. Great blessings to those who work to bring peace. God will call them his sons and daughters. Now please rest assured we're not going to spend the next several hours parsing out words and playing language games to try to figure out the meaning between peaceable men, peacemakers, and those who work to bring peace. This is merely to point out that in essence, we are positioned very far from the actual source of the inspiration. We are two millennia away from the teacher on the hill, and we have no authoritative word-for-word transcript like the Muslims do with the Quran. The Quran is the exact word of God. And it's interesting to note that core belief of Islam, that the Quran was dictated word by divine word to the Prophet Muhammad, direct dictation into Arabic. And thus, strictly speaking, the Quran in Arabic is God's word. And that any translation into another language is merely a rendition or a version. And if you want to truly read the Quran, which all believers should, then you need to read it in Arabic. Now, Christians and Jews, and especially Unitarian Universalists, do not have the benefit of direct dictation. Even while some Christians believe that the Bible is in the inerrant word of God, the sacred texts were written long after the teacher was executed. Now couple that with the vagaries of translation, and we get to move into that exhilarating realm of thought for thought or feeling for feeling of interpreting the texts. In short, the holy gist. So no matter what the shades of meaning are in the variant English translations, the uber lesson for those who practice the holy gist is quite obvious. One of the bedrock teachings of the Christian religion is that creating peace in the world is a positive thing, and that those who engage in the practice of making peace are blessed. And then the good question follows. With billions of Christians on this planet, many in positions of great political power, why so much war? And what actually is this peace that these peacemakers are blessed to make? Bluntly, what does peace look like? Since the opposite of peace is war, absence of war is a productive place to begin, unfortunately, none of us know what that looks like, because everyone in this room has lived through one, some, or all of these. World War II, the Korean War, the war on drugs, the first Iraq War, the second Iraq War, the Cold War, the Vietnam War, the war in Afghanistan, cyber war. We are living in a predominantly Christian country, and while we might not be on the front lines, we have been citizens of an empire that has waged continuous war. And over the past 15 years, we've waged our seemingly never-to-end war on terrorism. So it's sad to say we probably could have done no worse had Jesus said, "Blessed are the cheesemakers." And with that, I offer my apologies. We began this sermon with an innocent religious joke that poked fun at ourselves, followed by a lovely quote from a brilliant poet, "Laughter is the language of the soul." my apologies, that we have drifted from laughter to our empire's perpetual warring. And my apologies if I am suggesting that the peacemakers are doing a miserably hideous job. That was not my intention when I began writing this sermon. But since we are here, let us ride this through and make another bold statement. If Unitarian Universalism is to move beyond being the punchline for a joke where we don't know what the hell we're knocking at the door for, if it is to mean anything in the real world, a modern, complicated world filled with toxic fundamentalisms, religious, political, and economic fundamentalisms, then we need to own and energize our own living traditions and become radical peacemakers. We need to recognize the power and slipperiness of words and step beyond the crazy-making doublethink. And we need to grasp the holy gist. Radical peacemakers, by living our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of all people, we need to wage a holy peace on terror. Imagine a blistering, all-out, passionate holy peace, counter to holy war, a holy peace against the terrors of hunger and poverty and child abuse and domestic violence, modern slavery, drug addiction, homelessness, climate change, environmental degradation, mental illness. Now that is peacemaking. When we wage a holy peace on terror on those fronts around the globe, the world changes radically for the better, and the root cause for fundamentalist extremisms wither and weaken. And Gandhi smiles from his nonviolent Hindu heaven. And of course, the next question, the next natural question becomes, how? Blessed are the cheesemakers. Making cheese is as good a place as any to start. To make cheese, one needs clean water, clean land, sweet grass. One needs healthy livestock. To truly achieve peaceful cheese, one must become a good steward of the local earth and the creatures and the plants upon it. By making cheese, one provides opportunity for honest work. With people gainfully employed, they can afford the basics of living, food, clothing, shelter. And in that short paragraph, we touched upon small-scale solutions for those vast and terrorizing problems of hunger, poverty, homelessness, environmental degradation. So blessed are the cheesemakers the world over. May their sharp fettas, may their their sharp cheddars, their lusty fettas and soft mozzarellas help nourish us as we practice the holy gist and we make peace on terror. And finally, we began with Neruda's soulful laughter. We shall conclude with a perfectly distilled piece of wisdom from the Dalai Lama, a phrase precisely attributed and a phrase that is impossible to miss the gist of. He said, quote, "My true religion is kindness." So please, if you remember anything from this morning's slippery play with words and sources and call to practice the holy gist, please remember this one beautiful, actionable, completely UU-worthy word. Kindness. And when you share some cheese and add some laughter to that kindness, you are in the presence of deep peacemaking. Amen.